Our reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luther teaches us in the explanation of the first article of the Creed that our Heavenly Father richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. Now we see this from the beginning. God takes his newly created man, created in his own image and in his likeness by means of his own hands and his own holy breath, and he places him into the garden, created specifically for him to work and to keep. God places his highest and most cherished creation in that garden, and then he tells him, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden." Now that's farm to table right there, isn't it? That is providing. And yet we know that there's more to the story. There's more to that sentence. You may eat of any of this fruit, right? Any of it, except for the fruit of that one single tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, on the surface, it doesn't seem very loving, this statement, right? This very fact, right? If God truly desires the death of no man, then why did God provide that tree? If he's all-knowing, he had to have known that they would eat of it and die. Why provide something that does not support, but rather destroys body and life? Now, I don't have the answers to those questions, and God does not tell us these things. So go no further. In the words of Deuteronomy, the hidden things belong to God, and the revealed things belong to us. God doesn't tell you what you want to know, nor does he have to. He doesn't answer to you or to me. He tells you what you need to know. And furthermore, these things, these questions, really are questions of unbelief. If God truly desires the death of no man, if God is truly all-knowing, you see, those questions are no different than the questions straight from Satan's mouth. If you really believe, you really are the Son of God, prove it. Turn these stones into bread. Throw yourself off this rooftop. Save yourself and come down from that cross. God provides us with all that we need, not all that we want. And so don't miss the point in the reading. God's good and loving providence is staring us right in the face. And the day that you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. God is providing for Adam in this. He's providing all that Adam needs for this body and life, including and especially eternal life. You see, it's a loving warning. It's not a threat. It's a statement of reality. Adam, if you eat this, you will die, and that I do not want that for you. Now, of course, we know that how this turned out. And yet the problem wasn't God's providence. The problem was man's pride. It was man's doubt. Adam wasn't content with all that he needed. He wasn't getting all that he wanted. And look what happened. Man turned a deaf ear to God's loving word, the word that provided him all that he needed in his body and his life, and instead trusted his own eyes, Chapter 3 tells us that Adam and Eve looked at the fruit and seeing what a delight it was to their eyes, that they took it and they ate. Now, what about you? Consider your own lives, the fruits that you get from your own sinfulness. And don't fool yourself. We still long for these deadly fruits, even as we stand on this side of the cross. Why? Well, because the answer is very easy, right? Because it appeals to our old Adam senses. And let's face it, we have our wants, our desires, we have our pride, and humility and suffering are not in it, right? They're just not fun. It's true, whether we want to admit it or not. We who have been justified and grafted into the vine of life that is Christ, well, we still tend to prefer the fruits of sin. It feels good. It makes us happy. Life just seems so much easier when we're swimming downstream with everyone else, when all of our wants are satisfied, when we don't have to have all of those pesky crosses to bear. Repent. The end of all those things is death. Those earthly things don't save you. They can't save you. Those sinful fruits and those desires, well, they kill. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look to this cross. Look to this tree. In this cross, we know good and we know evil, for we see how truly deadly our sin is. You see, our sin isn't just a malady or an imperfection. It isn't something that we can somehow overcome if we just buckle down and tighten our bootstraps, right? Our sin is evil, pure wickedness. It is death, and we are dead in that sin. Dead. Dead men tell no tales, and also dead men can do nothing for themselves. They certainly can't make themselves any less dead. And this is precisely why God himself took on flesh, for the sole purpose of taking that flesh to the cross to suffer and to die, to pay your wage of sin in full. And he did just that, paying that wage in full with his own holy, precious body and his blood. And that's why in faith we refer to the day of this event as Good Friday. It's God's holy and righteous good that puts to death our sinful evil, paid in full by our good and gracious God. And so we look to this cross, and we see also through faith our tree of life, our very own good tree of life, all that we need for this body and life indeed. And we look also to the font where these gifts are distributed. We look to the altar, where here is where God himself nourishes you with life-saving, life-giving fruits of this wretched and yet holy tree. God brings his victory over death, over sin and the grave to you. Here is where he grafts you into the vine of life that is Christ. Here is where he nourishes you with his fruit, the fruit of his bounty, the bread of life himself. Here is where he unconditionally gives free to you the gift of eternal life in Christ. Thus, you belong to Christ. No matter what this world might throw at you, no matter how bad things may get, or things may seem, you belong to Christ. All that you have and need for this body and life and the next, God gives to you freely, purely out of his divine grace and mercy, out of his love. And so when you leave chapel today and march through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's not to impugn the working conditions here, right? But when you go out into the world, right, remember that that your Lord dismisses you with his gospel promise and with his blessing, his benediction of peace. God himself will have satisfied you with the fullness of his grace and his peace, the fullness of the bread of life that is Christ and his word for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.